This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala ashraf al-anbiya'i wa mursaleen Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa ba'd. I was debating about this night. Should I give a speech or not? Should I save my energy for tomorrow, where I will be talking, inshallah, in a Kothar course about out of sight, talking about the angels, the jinn, and the qadar? Should I save my energy since I've not been feeling very well since yesterday and with all this traveling? Or should I come? Then I thought about it and I said, there is nothing can bring more energy to the soul, to the body, than seeing you guys. So I believe that this is will add to my energy, and this is will help me, inshallah, to feel better by meeting my brothers and sisters this night, and to talk about a very special and important topic. It's the path to fiqh. I would like to talk today to the student of knowledge, to those who seeking knowledge, those who learner, and especially those who are serious learner, that they want to learn their deen, they want to be capable of understanding the deen the way that the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood. And I will classify my topic, and I promise you it's going to be a short one today, into three main areas. The one I would like to talk about, the student of knowledge with himself in his way to fiqh. And I will explain why exactly I choose the way path to fiqh. Then after that I will talk about the student of knowledge with his or with her family, then with their society. First of all, I know this is Masjid Ahl al-Hadith. I belong to Jam'iyyah to Ahl al-Hadith. And choosing the path to fiqh is a quite interesting title. But I choose that because there is no separation, as you will see, between the fiqh and hadith. They go alongside together, and you cannot separate them. And when the ummah separated the fiqh from the hadith, we lost the fiqh. And when the ummah separated the hadith from the fiqh, we lost the science of hadith as understanding to the textual evidence or to the statements and the action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First of all, I would like to say to myself and to all brothers and sisters here today, the student of knowledge, طالب العلم مع نفسه, with himself. First thing comes to my mind, the intention. This is something very important, and believe me, it's not something for granted. It's not something easy. A lot of student of knowledge, a lot of practicing Muslims, they take the issue of niyyah as if it is already been taken care of. You didn't need even to question it. And niyyah is a very hard thing. And Imam Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah, which is one of the greatest imam among the tabi'een, he was described once as kana Sufyan fi zamani kas-siddiq fi zamani. Sufyan al-Thawri, people used to look up to him the same way the companion used to look up to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. This is one of the greatest imams in the history of Islam. Yaqul Sufyan al-Thawri, he used to say, I haven't seen anything more difficult to deal with it than the intention. حتى الإمام أحمد رحمه الله يقول له كل حديث حدثته لله. Every single hadith that you ever narrate in any gathering, in any class, in any occasion, it was 100% pure intention. قال كل حديث لله هذا عزيز. That's very hard to say. Yes, it's very hard to say. I mean, those people are very sincere. It's not like they're saying that out of sincerity. Intention and purifying your intention is something hard, because one of the natural things every human being want to feel significant. That's something natural in humans. So Yeah, sometimes this feeling, this natural feeling, can take over your intention, can a little bit corrupt the intention. And that's why you need to struggle with it all the time, to remember, is it really Lillah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is this really will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is this really what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want from me here and now? This is a question that the person should always keep asking himself and always keep asking herself. One of the greatest imams of Ahl al-Sunnah, his name is Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, rahimahullah. He was teaching Mas'ala, and he was able to bring so many details related to this Mas'ala, this issue, in fiqh, and explaining it from different perspectives. Then afterwards, the students saw him in majlis with al-Qudat, with judges and elders and scholars. And the same issue was brought up, and he refrained from saying anything about it. So after the gathering finished, they asked Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah. They told him, you just in the class, you did a wonderful job. You explained it all in details and with evidence. Why you didn't say anything? He said, because over there it was Lillah. 100%, I have no problem with it. But with the judges and with these elders and with the people, I was not sure. So I refrained from saying anything because I was not sure if my intention is pure or not at that time. Yani, if you want to see how much this sincerity and ikhlas goes, look at Al-Rabi' ibn Khuthaym, one of the students of Ibn Mas'ud, rahimahullah wa radiyallahu anhu. Al-Rabi' ibn Khuthaym, he used to have a person, poor person, come to get food from his house. That person can't see, can't hear. Okay? And Al-Rabi' when he bring the food, he used to decorate the food. Kana yuzayyin al-ta'am. He fix it, looks very nice, looks nice. So the student told Al-Rabi' قِلَ يَا أَبَا عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَانِ هُوَ لَا يَرَاهُ وَلَنْ يَسْمَعْ مَنْ يَصِفُهُ لَهُ. He can't see it and he will not hear. And nobody can tell him even that you spend so much time and you make it look so nice. What's not going to make a difference? He's going to eat it. قيل يا أبا عبد الرحمن هو لا يسمع ولا يرى فقال لكن الله يسمع ويرى. He said, no, Allah sees and Allah hears. The sincerity, it is something very well needed when it comes to that, to طالب العلم. When you say, when you send this email, when you send this reply, when you post this in the forum, when you ask these questions, make sure that you always ask yourself, and don't this stop you from doing good? Don't this stop you from going to classes? Don't stop you from asking questions, from learning, from posting, from participating? But let this always a checkpoint that you go back and you said, what was my intention when I did that? It is another trick for the shaitan to make the intention. One of the reasons to purify your intention, it means to cancel everything. If you cancel everything, there is no purification because there is no actions. Is that right? Make sense? You should not stop everything. You should do, but you purify. And it's ongoing process. The niyyah, it's not one action, one-time actions. It's ongoing process. You might start with bad intention, but you change that during the course of your salat or your ibadah or your seeking knowledge. As Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu arda said, some of us became Muslim for the dunya in the morning, and by the night, his Islam was purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that issue of purification of the intention, to purify your intention, to check your intention all the time, it is very, very needed. And wallahi, most of the problems that happen in the field of طلاب العلم sometimes, it is because sometimes we don't stop and check our intention and to make sure that it is pure. Imam Ahmed rahimahullah once was asked, كَيْفَ يَكُنُ الْإِخْلَاصُ فِي طَلَبِ الْعِلْمِ? How a person can be sincere in seeking knowledge? قَالْ أَنْ يَكُونَ مُتَعَلِّمًا عَلَى سَبِيلِ النَّجَاةِ. That he is seeking knowledge to save himself in the Day of Judgment. And one of the interesting things related to the intention help you to define your goal clearly. One of the benefits of having this concept of intention in Islam or the act of worship, it makes the goal very clear in front of you. So nothing can block you from singing. My intention, I'm doing this for that. So that goal is very clear. But when you don't check your intention, when your intention is corrupted, the goal is, there's so many goals, there's multiple things, it's vague. You don't see exactly where you're heading or going. And also, the second point when it comes to the talib al-ilm, the student of knowledge with himself, that this ilm cannot, it's not meant for itself. It's meant for, to be implemented, to be implemented, to practice what you learn, to practice what you learn. That's the methodology of the Sahaba. Actually, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he first received the wahi, as in Sahih, he used to receive only five verses. Five verses every time. And one of the wisdom, the ulama said that the first, the wahi, the revelation, used to come in five verses, to give chance for people to practice, to be able to practice. And وبعد ذلك يعني الوحي نزل جملة. After, in the late stage, the wahi start coming like full surah, long surahs. But in the beginning, to help you to establish that ability of practicing. And this is very important for us, to learn to practice the knowledge. If you heard me correctly, to practice the knowledge, it means that you're focused on the knowledge that it will lead you to practice something. So argument, things that is no practices related to it, it is not a beneficial knowledge. And one of the major differences between ilm al-salaf wa ilm al-khalaf, the ilm of the early Muslim and those who came late, that ilm al-salaf concentrate and focus on things that you can practice, you can do it. And a lot of people like to learn about things that they will never practice, that they have nothing to do with it. You know, if I tell you I have a class about jinn, I'm sure everybody will come. Because stories, it just, that's fine. But what's the practices? It's not that excited anymore. But anyway, there's nothing wrong to have theoretical issues, to build ability to think right, but focus on practices. And you practice as much as you can. As much as you can. Also, one of the things I would like all of us to remember, that talab al-ilm is your way to Jannah. Ibn al-Mubarak, rahimahullah, was asked, if you would be brought back to life after death, what would you come back to do? قِلَّهْ إِذَا أُرْجِعْتْ لِلْحَيَاةِ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ لِلْدُّنْيَا مَاذَا كُنْتَ تَرْجِعْ فَتَصْنَعْ قَالَ أَطْلُبُ الْعِلْمِ. I will come back to seek knowledge. الشافعي رحمه الله تعالى said, I don't know anything better to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with it after fulfilling the fara'id than طلب العلم, than seeking knowledge and learning knowledge. طلب العلم, as in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said في حديث الصحيح مسلم, من ترك طريقا يلتمس به علما سهل الله له به طريقا إلى الجنة. Whoever seek a way to Jannah, to study or to learn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him an easy path to Jannah, to paradise. And one of the meaning of سهل الله له به طريقا للجنة, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you an easy path to Jannah, that Allah open for you doors of active worship that you're not familiar with, will bring you more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best example to give you in regard to this, an incident happened to one of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wives. She prayed Fajr, and after Fajr, she kept making adhkar, mashallah, all the way until near Dhuhr. Then the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after he came back before Dhuhr to the house, he saw her making the dhikr. Then he said, you still doing the same thing you've been doing since I left you in the morning? She said, yes. He said, I said after you four words. If my words will be weighted as amount of reward to what you've been saying, mine will be heavier. Mine, the reward of it will be more than what you've been saying. Four words. And this woman been saying the whole day time, four words. Why? Al-ilm, knowledge, shortcut. It is really give you access to the most any beneficial act of worship that can bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تسهل لك طريق الجنة. Make it easy to Jannah. العلم نور, العلم light. That's why those Ahlul Bid'ah, when I look at them, the innovators, they spend years and years, and you read about their life, crying and doing and sincere, and they spend money. Have you seen, يعني, if this is politically acceptable here, have you seen the Shia, how they do in Muharram? Hit themselves and start bleeding, and I see poor guy, يعني, bleeding, so terrible. Then I remember, قُلْ هَلْ أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالٍ عَامِلَةٌ نَاصِبَةٌ إِنشَاءَ. So, يعني, they are putting so much effort, and it's wasted. Why? Because there is no ilm, there is no knowledge. There is no way to Jannah. إِذَا عَطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ, as much as you learn, it show you the way to Jannah. It show it clearly to you, and give you access to it, and so many ways to reach Al-Jannah. If you interested in learning your deen, if you interested in learning your deen, that's something shows you, and shows you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intend good for you. كما في الصحيحين من حديث معاوية رضي الله عنه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من يريد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intend good for him, Allah will give him fiqh, the understanding in the religion, to understand, to learn the deen. Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه أرضاه كان إذا أغلقت عليه مسألة وفقهها بكى قد علمت أن الله أراد بي خيرا حينما بقاني إياه. When he couldn't understand verse in the Quran, and he tried all of the, يعني, then he will be able to see it and to understand clearly. He would cry. And they said, why you cry? He said, now I realize that Allah intend good for me. That's why he allowed me to understand it. And he will mention this hadith. It shows you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have chosen you to learn the deen. This is a very honoring thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of his great bounty on you, that he have sent down this book to you and to Muhammad and to the rest of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he have taught you what you have no knowledge of. That's a great ni'mah min Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on you. That he have allowed you to know the Quran, to recite the Quran, to know the ahadith, to know what's Sahih al-Bukhari, what's Sahih Muslim, to know what's the books of fiqh, what's the books of hadith. Who is the Shafi'i, who is the Imam Ahmad, who is Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah. Oh, there is millions of people, wallahi, they don't know anything about this. Among Muslims, even carrying Muslims' names, unfortunately. That's why the Muslim always ask, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Oh Allah, يعني, increase me in knowledge. العلم, which is knowledge, came in the Quran in two ways. Two words were used in the Quran to refer to al-ilm. The one, it's called al-ilm, knowledge, which is the most common word. But there is another word also used, which is al-fiqh. Which is al-fiqh, came in the Quran and sunnah. Like in Surah At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. So they understand the religion. And also the hadith I just mentioned earlier, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرٌ يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Also there is another hadith Ibn Abbas, that when the Prophet prayed for Ibn Abbas, قال, اللهم علمه التأويل وفقهه في الدين. Oh Allah, يعني, made him يفقه الدين, to understand that religion, to understand that religion. And the hadith in Muslim, Imam Ahmad رحمه الله, with this, يعني, علمه التأويل وفقهه في الدين. Anyway, the difference between ilm and fiqh. Can anybody think what's the difference between ilm and fiqh? Al-fiqh required from the person shahdh al-dhihn, to be intellect, to be able to analyze. Al-tafaqqh, to try to analyze things. Al-fiqh, to look carefully, to try to connect the dots, try to analyze the words. So الفقه tried to understand, and it required more effort to put. العلم is knowledge, that understanding, and knowing something with certainty. Allah referred to himself in Quran, used to describe himself with which words, علم or فقه? Huh? علم. He never ever used the word fiqh. He never said that he is faqih. He's alim. But never said that he is faqih. Even though, linguistically, al-fiqh is a higher level than al-ilm. Because you understand something, then you start analyzing and go in details into it, you became faqih. Linguistically. But Allah never referred to himself with fiqh, only with ilm. Why? Because الفقه فيه نقص في ابتدائه. الفقه indicate a negative meaning. الفقه, it means you don't understand it for the beginning and you start to analyze it until you come to the conclusion. And that meaning cannot apply to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why he never used that to refer to himself. It is knowledge. But this is something, but here in this area we talk about here when it comes to ilm, to you as a human, al-fiqh, because all of us, we're not complete, we are incomplete. Then by fiqh, we complete ourselves. Allah, by default, is complete, his knowledge complete. He doesn't need to fiqh anything. Everything for him, it is clear knowledge, okay? But for us, the fiqh is what give us higher level of analyzing, understanding the ilm, because you don't get the ilm instantly. The ilm, it's a process. العلم ليس كسبه ذاتي في حق بني آدم بل هو كسبي مكتسب. Anyway, what are the source of ilm? What's the source of? I'm talking about علم الشريعة here, to be very specific. What are the sources of the ilm? There is two main sources for the knowledge, the Islamic knowledge. One, Al-Quran. Two, As-Sunnah. These are the source of the knowledge. That's it. That's the source of Al-Quran and the Sunnah. And if you know that, the books which is concentrate on explaining Al-Quran and As-Sunnah will be the number one resources for knowledge. That's why number one resource for any city of knowledge, Fathul Bari, the explanation of Sahih Muslim al-Nawawi, al-Qurtubi, and so on. Tafsir ibn Kathir, Tafsir al-Qurtubi, Tafsir ibn Jarir al-Tabari. These are source of knowledge. There's a lot of information, it's sources, okay? Pay attention to this classification. Two, also, so there is ulum masadir, the ulum, knowledge, or a science which is considered a source for knowledge. And also there is ulum maqasid. There is a different classification for the science of Sharia, which we can classify to maqasid, or can say the maqasid, which is the goals that you want to achieve by learning. And these type of knowledge are two. That's basically the main goal that you want to learn in your life, to learn the fiqh, and to learn the aqidah. To learn the aqidah, the creed, and to learn the fiqh. And when it comes to the aqidah has so many aspects in it. The top aspect of the science of aqidah will be at-tawheed, singling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and what is related to it. And when it comes to fiqh, the best aspects, or the highest, or the most important aspects in the science of fiqh will be ahkam al-ibadat, the act of worship, which is related to the pillars of Islam, as-salat, wa-zakat, wa-al-hajj. That's the most important thing that you learn in fiqh, in ulum al-fiqh. Then you have another type of ulum, science called ulum al-wasa'il, which is tools and knowledge, such as Arabic language, such as history, Arabic language, Arabic grammars, usul al-fiqh, qawa'id al-fiqh, mustalah, al-hadith. All these tools will allow you to explore the sources, to allow you to understand the fiqh and the aqidah. Then you have another type of uloom, another type of science. We call it uloom mukammilat. Uloom mukammilat, extra. Something which is complementary knowledge, very good. Such as tarikh, history, you know, the history, the little biography of the scholars, adab, literature, help you to balagha, tajweed, to not the way, tajweed, I mean, but the science of tajweed, but the tajweed in a sense, it is how to read correctly, this is an essential thing. But the tajweed, what is the mad here, how many haraka, how many, this is the ulama almost agree that they consider it from ulum al-mukammilat. So that's just to give you a general idea. When you deal with the ilm, you need to understand that. There is the source of knowledge, hadith and Quran. There is goals they want to achieve, ulum maqasid, that's something I need to focus on it, which is the aqidah and the fiqh, the ahkam al-shar'iyyah, the ruling, then the wasa'il, the tools, then the complementary things that I also need to learn. When the ulama classify the knowledge to this classification, they never intend that you start with one and you ignore the rest. There is nothing wrong to learn wasa'il while you're learning maqasid, while you're learning history, while you can learn all. But don't focus on the complementary ilm and you think you're a student of knowledge. Don't think you're going to be a sheikh if you have no idea what is ulum al-wasa'il is. You don't think you're going to be an imam and you don't know the masadir, the Quran and sunnah. This is not acceptable. This is not acceptable. طيب. Seeking the knowing the ruling in any issues as a student of knowledge, when you seek to know the ruling of any issues, طلب الحكم الشرعي has two also level. One, any contemporary issues now, or any issues come to you, you want to know the ruling in it. The first situation that you are entitled to know the ruling immediately. You don't have time. For example, now I need to know, can I wipe over my socks to pray Isha or not? I have no knowledge. I want to learn this issue. Salat al-Isha coming up. You go to Ulum al-Masadir, open the books and the shuruh and the fiqh until you learn? No. In this case, immediately the student of knowledge, go ask. And this will be the source of knowledge for you. I want you to pay attention to this because we're talking about something you have to act upon it immediately. But if it's not immediately, that will not be the best way to do it as a student of knowledge. A lot of people, all their knowledge based on questions. That's why a lot of people think that they became a student of knowledge, or they think they are knowledgeable, or they are a learner by looking at fatwa websites. Questions that does not make a student of knowledge. Fatwa websites, fatwas books, it will help you in something immediately you need to do. But something you want to learn, you have time, you don't need to act immediately, that's not will be the best way to do it. That will be the other situation. When you have time, when you have not something, you have to act on it right now. And this will be if you have time to explore it, to study it. If it is something personal, it will be different than something related to the community or to the society or to the public. When it comes to the public, related to community, to society, to da'wah issues, to affect the Muslims' world or the Muslim society in Birmingham, that's not your business right now as a learner. You refer this to the ulama, to the scholars, to the world-founded, or you can research and talk with them about it. But usually we will, as a starter, as a learner in the beginning, we'll prefer that you stay away from this. Leave this on the side, not now. When you, inshallah, became strong and solid and understand the religion, you can go and talk about this and explore this on your own. Now, there is people talking about, oh, this, for example, issue is correct fatwa or not, the refutation for so-and-so person and so group. This is not you now. I'm not saying it's wrong, but not you now. You need to delay this and keep this for those who will establish, for the Ahlul Ilm to talk about it. Not you, you learner. Now you focus on things personally related to you. You want to learn sifatu salati Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam according to the sunnah, according to the khilaf. What lid the ulama said, you touch the floor with your hand first or your knees first. What's the evidence in each group and so on. So if you're studying now an issue for the sake of learning, lid-dirasa, you have people here also based on their level of knowledge go to two ways. One, we call it a studying to know the rajih and to give fatwa and to make a statement which opinion is correct and which opinion is wrong, is weak. This is for Ahlul Ilm, this is for the advanced Talabat al-Ilm and Shuyukh and so on. For the learners, no, they learn the issue not to pass judgment but to understand how the judgment was made. And this is very important when you learn. I want you to know why the Shafi'iyya said that. Why Imam Ahmad said it's allowed. Why Imam Abu Hanifa said it's haram. What his perspective is. And that's something, that's your goal now. To understand how this issue was made. How Sheikh bin Baz said it's allowed to do this. Why Al-Albani said it's bid'ah. Why Sheikh Yusuf Al-Qaradawi said it is haram to do that. What is his perspective? Where is he coming from? What's the evidence that he used? And not to pass judgment on them as much as I want to learn now how this happened. We call it dirasa ta'sisiyya, ta'siliyya. You concentrate on the usul and the foundation and the principles. Since we talk about fiqh, there are seven types of books written in the fiqh. If you want to study fiqh. I'll let you know, most of people ask about fiqh and aqidah's issues. Yani, as an imam, or listening to people for over now, almost 20 years. Very rare, unless I'm with a special group of people, I'll get questions about, for example, the riwayah of this person, Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i, wala, the narrators, or what's the qira'ah in this surah. This yani type of ulum, it's no really average people. You master this and you go as an imam, you cannot benefit anybody. You know the history, biography, every narrator in the hadith, you memorize the asanid, you come, you cannot answer people's questions. You, mashallah, master the tinqira in Quran. Very good. Can you answer people's questions? No. You specialize in great things. But you know what? What really people daily need? Two things. Aqidah and fiqh. Halal and haram. And it is sunnah, bid'ah, shirk, tawheed, Islam, kufr, nifaq, and so on. That's why it is sad to see some people will shift it in their learning process to concentrate on things which is less important than the main two. If you cannot master these two areas, that's up to you. But anyway, in fiqh there are seven types of books. And I'm saying that because a lot of especially English speakers have no access to this type of books, but at least you know that there are seven types of different books that exist in any madhab of the madah. One it called Al Mukhtasarat, which is usually very small text, precise. We call them Al Mukhtasarat. Then you have, and this is usually for the beginner, then you have shuruh muwaddiha lil-mukhtasarat, explanations for these texts. For these texts. So for example, sometimes they explain the meaning of the word. Explain what is this words and this madhab means. Okay? For example, you have Rawd al-Mirbi' and Hanabila explaining Zad al-Mustaqna. Text called Zad al-Mustaqna. Al-Bahuti came Rawd al-Mirbi' explain what that text means. Then after the right explanation, there is another scholars, another third type of book it called Al-Hawashi. called al-hawashi, which is footnotes, kind of, which is basically they take the explanations and they put some footnotes on it. Okay, that's why they said man hawa al-hawashi ma hawashi. He said whoever mastered the hawashi, he masters nothing, because just comments on certain words. So you know the comments, but you don't know what's going on up there. You're totally lost. But al-hawashi, it's very good to find very rare incidents referring to some very fawa'id, rare to be found in the books of al-hawashi. Then you go to 4. It's called kutubul khilaf fil madhab, books in fiqh, which is basically represent the difference of opinions among the madhab itself. So these books will talk about what's the difference of opinions among the Hanabila and about these issues. In the Shafi'i book, in the Hanafi, in the Maliki, and so on. Then you go to a fifth category. It's called the books of al-tasheeh wa al-tanqih, which is books will choose what is the strongest opinion among the madhab. That's what they're specialized in. Then the sixth category, books that call al-mufradat, mufradatul madhab or al-imam, which is books talking about the issues in this particular madhab which is not found in any other madhab. What's the opinion of the Hanafi or the Shafi'i or the Maliki or the Hanbali, which is not exist in any other madhab other than the three other madhab or other than these madhab? Then the seventh book, it's called Kutubul Wifaq, the books which is comparative between the schools of fiqh. So he talks about the madhab and who will agree with the madhab from the other madhab. And the madhab is not only four, it's way bigger than that. Like when you see, for example, الفروع لبن مفلح وغيره. What I would like to say here when studying fiqh, make sure that you understand the text, the small مختصرات, and how to understand it with a good explanations. And in the same times, I would recommend my brothers and sisters, when it comes to the student, not themselves, to read a lot. That's a general advice. Read as much as you can. Read as much as you can. I know that there are some people always quote this, شَرُّ النَّاسِ مَنْ كَانَ صُحُفِيًّا. The worst student of knowledge is the one who read from books. This statement by the Salaf, you cannot just take it generally like this. You cannot just take it. It's not text, it's not Quran, it's not Sunnah. That statement said by one or two individuals is not a Quran or Sunnah. You have to look at it and to be careful how to deal with it. In general, it is very dangerous to rely on one source of books. But if in modern, in these days, when you have access to a tremendous amount of writing, tremendous amount of explanation from modern scholars and old scholars, you can read what Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen said, you can read what Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah said, you can read what Sheikh so-and-so said about this, and Barak Fouri about this, you can Ibn Hajar, and you can read Ibn Nawawi, and you have ability to see so much. That's very important for this new knowledge. Believe me, deceiving you, who told you that any student of knowledge study like ourselves overseas, that all the knowledge that we got from the halaqat of Ahlul Ilm. That's not true. Doesn't make you a student of knowledge. It gives you the key to the knowledge. If you don't go home and study and read and memorize and work and write and do research, you will never make it. Just by going to Sheikh bin Baz halaqa and sitting, it's not going to make you a student of knowledge. I saw people 20 and 30 years staying this. They're not student knowledge, unless you go and you read and you make your own research. So don't take that statement by the Salaf, the worst person who has knowledge through books, to prevent you from reading. Read and read and read and read and read. But don't make a conclusion. Don't make a judgment. Don't give fatwa just based on your reading. You have to combine this with what Imam al-Shatibi rahimahullah said. قال إن العلم في الكتب لكن مفاتيحه في صدور الرجال. العلم, it's in the books, but the key to the ilm in the chest and the mind and the heart of the scholars. You need the scholars to teach you tools. You need the ulama to teach you the way to understand exactly what this means, what this terminology means. For instance, you read for an-Nawawi rahimahullah, and an-Nawawi would say, ajma' al-ulama, there is ijma' on this issue. He used this word a lot. Ijma', consensus, khalas. You didn't know that an-Nawawi means ijma', referring to the Shafi'i madhab. He's referring about the ijma' inside the Shafi'i madhab. So these two keys to understand, it is with the shuyukh. But these keys will not make you alim. These keys just keys. But you need to read and read and read and read. Especially when you read to, today in the books, which is comprehend. One subject covered from all aspects, bringing all the difference of opinions related to it. And I cannot emphasize enough on the importance of reading and reading and reading. Also, when you read any book, make sure that you write down on the first page some of the points, the notes, that you think it's very amazing, unique about this book. Make sure this is a habit. This allows you to write it down so you remember it. You can easily go back to it. You can easily go back to it. One of the good books that you can focus on when there is one book, concentrate on one issue. Like a whole entire book about, for example, the traveling, prayer while traveling. Because they bring it from all aspects, all difference of opinions. This very beneficial book. If you read something and you couldn't understand it quickly, don't stop. Move on, then come back to it later on. Or ask somebody to read it with you. It is a good habit. And I remember one of the best things I benefited personally when I was in university. We have a habit, and can be done in your masjid here. We used to book it called Al-Mughni. I remember when we was in the second year in college, we decided to read Al-Mughni. Al-Mughni is a huge book. I mean, it's not a book for reading, it's a reference. But just came to our mind, a group of brothers said, let's read Al-Mughni. Who gonna read Al-Mughni? So we did a plan, and it was very successful. Which is, we sat and we just read. 60, 80, 90, 100 pages. I read 20, he read 20, he read 30, he read 30, 30, 30. By the end, we are six. By the end of the 2 hours or 3 hours, we already have covered over 150 or 200 pages from the book. Reading and reading and reading. We write down if there is anything need to be revisited again. We didn't finish the book, but I remember we have covered a lot of the book this way. In Fath al-Bari, the same thing, these big books. You can have a group study. Make sure that you choose a book that you guys all agree to read, and you sit together and review it. Reading is a very good habit. Reading is a very good habit. And that's why I'm not a big fan of books, e-books. Because you cannot, unless you can put point, notes on it and stuff like that. Don't be miser when it comes to buying books. One of the blessings here in Birmingham, you guys have several, mashallah, publications and place where you can buy books. In England in general, that's blessings. Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi, rahimahullah, said, if you have money, spend it to buy books. He said, I have seen a lot of people later, when they became older, they regret that they never purchased the books that they saw. I remember Sheikhna Sheikh Abdul Razak Afifi, rahimahullah, told us that once, I asked him once, Sheikh Abdul Razak, what is the first book that you read? Like, in one of the main books in ilm. He said, Tafsir ibn Jarir. He was in sixth grade at that time, or less. Sixth grade in his time is not equal to elementary. It will be like something like a mid school, something like that. Ibn Jarir al-Tabari. So he said at that time, Dar al-Sha'b published the book. It's 30 volumes, each just in one volume. I don't have money. I buy one, I read it, I memorize it almost, then I sell it, and I buy the second just. And I write down what I want. And I sell it, and I buy the third one, until I finish the 30 volumes. Rahimahullah ta'ala. Buy it. Don't be miser when it comes to buying the books. Don't let the shaitan. Al-Baghdadi also mentioned this in his great book, Taqeed al-Ilm. He said, sometimes the shaitan tricked many students of knowledge by telling them, don't buy a book, they're going to be hujjah against you in the day of judgment. a lot, you have it in your library, you never read it, blah, blah, blah. Baghdadi, he said, it's going to be against you anyway, if it's in your library or in the bookstores. So he said, no, actually, buy it. That's one reason for you to defeat the shaitan. Because if you don't have it, the shaitan always tell you it's not here. So you have it, you can go and read it and use it whenever you want. And I personally say that. There are so many books I hesitated to buy when I was in high schools and college. I hesitated to buy. Now I cannot find them anywhere. It's just finished. I cannot find this book anyway. Any one of the books, for example, I was like dying to buy at that time, Sheikh Ahmed ibn Hajar al-Bautami, rahimahullah ta'ala, has a very beautiful book about الأدلة النقلية والعقلية على الصفات الإلهية. Very beautiful book in العقيدة. And this book never republished again. I remember one of the books that I bought and everybody was, oh, what do you want to do with it? And subhanAllah, later on, this is in my lifetime, in very recent days, everybody envied me that I have a copy from this book, which is written by Sheikh Rahimahullah Muhammad Aman al-Jami, called Abu al-Rushd wa Nadhariyat al-Aql. Beautiful book. Beautiful book that he wrote, but it's almost like can't find it anymore in the libraries. These books not very published, so make sure they take advantage. If you see a good book, buy it. Also, choose a good time for reading. Don't read when you're so tired. And you exhausted, and now you want to read. Habibi, you're not going to read. You know, you're not going to read. You want to read to put you to sleep, something else. Shaykhna Sheikh Abdul Razzaq Afifi rahimahullah, I said, how is Sheikh you go to sleep? He said, I let my wife read to me from Sahih Muslim. She's a boring reader. Rahimahullah. Rahimahullah wa rahimaha wa askanahum fasiha jannati wa ayyari wa ulati wa rabbil alamin. Anyway, so, but choose good time for you to read. And put that time, it's a time you're really excited, you are not exhausted. Also, I would like to mention it comes to seed of knowledge, there's a lot of time we waste. And if we take advantage of it, you can do a lot. I know one brother memorized the whole Quran in less than 2 years. Okay? I asked him, what was the secret? Do you know what? He maybe memorized before four juz up to six juz. He was able in 2 years to finish it, a mashallah master. You know what he used to do? He used to come 15 minutes before each salat, before the adhan, plus the adhan and iqama, whatever time, and in overseas they have like 20 minutes. That's what he put for each and every salat. He come early and utilize this time for reading Quran. Don't come at the iqama. Iqama is what time is Isha? 10? You come here 2 minutes to 10, or if you are good. You know what? Come, ya akhi, early. Half an hour. What's wrong with that? And this the time for me to take advantage of it. One of the time that we waste a lot, also, the car. There is a lot of things you can do at the car. A lot of tapes you can listen to. I know somebody also memorized the Quran through listening to recitation in the Quran, reviewed and read. Don't listen only to the weather and news and, you know, that's fine, but also learn something. Sisters, sometimes when they, I know one sister, she's amazing. She's related to me, one of my maharim. She's, subhanAllah, when she vacuum her house, she put her headphones and she basically use this time listening to the Quran or to a lecture. She cook, always she listened to a lecture, or she turn on this or something. She put in her kitchen, in the fridge, the magnet, she stick hadith, and she memorize. Every day she print one, and she basically put it while she cooking and stuff like that. She utilizing this time. Just make sure that you don't let any moment go without taking advantage of it, There is nothing should stop you from learning. Imam al-Bayhaqi, rahimahullah, one of the greatest names in the ilm, who Imam Muhaddith Kabir Shafi'i. He had nothing. Rahimahullah. No money, no family, nothing. But he became a great, I think he never even traveled for seeking knowledge. He doesn't have even any ability to travel. But he became one of the most important names when it comes to ilm al-hadith, when it comes to ilm al-fiqh, especially fiqh al-shafi'iyya rahimahullah ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, stay away from staying late at night. Most of those who stay all night and very late, they waste their time and they lose the most beneficial time, which is early in the morning. The student knowledge with his family. Al-Bukhari has a chapter, Babu Ta'lim al-Rajuli Amatahu wa Ahlah. The man teach his slave and his family the knowledge. That's obligatory on us to share the knowledge with our spouses and vice versa. If the sister learned something in the day, share it with your husband before you go to sleep. You know, if you learn something during the day, share it with your wife. And this is one of the best way to basically to keep that knowledge. Be a good role model. Wallahi, is this shame. Shame on us. If we are learner and we care about the deen and we abuse our spouses and we treat our spouses with disrespect. When you have low standard akhlaq when it comes with your wife, when it comes with your husband, that's not acceptable. That's two faces. That's double standards. That's ridiculous. To have this akhlaq, bad manners with your family, bad with your kids. Also, when it comes to the student of knowledge with his society, he has to be and she has to be active in the masjid. If you can participate, you know, there is always opportunities over in front of you. You don't need a title to be a leader. You don't need to be called the youth program coordinator, the program coordinator, the imam of the masjid, the sheikh. You don't graduate from Imam Muhammad Ibn Saud University. There is one lady, very famous, she said, the longer title you have, the less job you do. Believe me, you see my title, all this, that means I do not much. So that's what it is. The longer title you have, you don't need anyone to make you a leader. You're a leader. You can be a leader without even realizing. And if I can, just for the lack of any example other than what I have in my mind, Rosa Parks, who anybody knows this name? Birmingham, Alabama? When she refused to stand up for that white man in the bus, she started a whole movement of civil rights in the United States. She's a leader without her realizing that she's a leader. She's the leader of this whole entire movement. Sometimes leadership does not need to be done through titles. You can be active participating, but just opportunity. I see an opportunity that I can benefit through it. Make sure that you don't miss the jama'ah, you don't miss the jumu'ah. You are an element of uniting the Muslims. I will never forget, subhanAllah, one of the Hanafi fuqaha talked about the issue of joining the prayer. You know, the Hanafi, they don't allow joining the prayer. But he said, if the Hanafi person pray behind somebody who joined for matar, for rain, Maliki, for example, who joined the Salat because of the rain, Maghrib and Isha. The Hanafi will not allow you to pray Maghrib and Isha together. But they said, pray with them with the intention of volunteer prayer. But don't walk out the masjid. So don't break the unity. And you pray Isha on time. Yahi, this is fiqh. This is fiqh indeed. You basically pray with them, and even if you disagree, but don't show that disagreement. Sometimes al-ilm is supposed to bring mercy, rahmah, not curse. If your ilm bring curse, that's not an ilm. If your ilm bring any problems, that's not an ilm. That you need to check what's going on wrong with you. Al-ilm, what al-ilm did to the companions, to the sahaba? Allafa baynahum. Al-ilm unite them, brought their hearts together. That's the real ilm. And if it does not bring that, the hearts together and the community together, there is something need to be checked here, to be reviewed. in the society, make sure that you have clean heart against other people. Abu Dujana, rahimahullah, died and he's about 100 years old. He said, أموت اليوم وليس في قلبي غل على مسلم. I die today and have nothing in my heart against any Muslim. Against any Muslim. Against any Muslim. يحيى بن معين, great scholars in hadith, يقولون لم ينصح أحد قط إلا سرا. When it comes to personal advice, he always advises people in secret and personal. In personal, be a role model. Abu Bakr al-Muti'i, one of the famous students of Imam Ahmed, يقول, I attended the class of Imam Ahmed 12 years. He's teaching his musnad to his sons. 12 years, 12 سنة. قال والله ما كتبت فيها حديثا واحدا. I never wrote down single hadith from Imam Ahmed. I was learning from his manners. And listen, Imam Ahmed dealing with his own sons. Sometimes we show our good manners with the stranger, not with our family member. الذهبي رحمه الله said 5,000 people attended Imam Ahmed class. Maybe only 300 or 400 writing the hadith and the rest learning from his adab, from his manners. The student of knowledge in his society helps, offered help. You don't need to be asked to help. You should offer help. One of the great ulama, his name Baqi ibn Makhlad, great alim in al-Andalus, great muhaddith, رحمه الله, he said, قال لقد زرعت لهم في الأندلس زرعا لا يقلعه إلا الدجال. He said, I have planted for them something in Al-Andalus, it will not be removed until the full Messiah comes, which is the ilm al-hadith. He spread the science of hadith. I just always think about this statement. What that means to me, I'll tell you when I hear this statement, it means to me that this man, looking to have an impact on his society will remain until the day of judgment. For us, if we do any program, if we do any activity, our attitude, hit and quit. It's one night stands. That's it. One day event, this man, he wants something continue until the full Messiah appears. Person plan for a very long-term goals. That's why I was very impressed with the Sheikh telling me about Jam'iyat Ahl al-Hadith when they came in the late 70s and how they planned for this years and years and years and years to come. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yarhamma man qama ala hadha al-amr wa an yu'zima lahum al-ajr wal-mathuba ya Rabb. This is what you want to see, student of knowledge who think far, who think that something will impact for generation to generation. One thing about this imam also, subhanAllah, those who attend torch bearers with me when I taught in London before, we said that. Woman come to him, woman, single woman came to him. She said, I'm having trouble with my governor. He raised the tax on me, the money. He walked with her from his city all the way to her city. That's over 100 kilometers. Walking with her to intercede for her in front of the governor. She's nobody. She's a woman. We don't even know her name. But Allah hears and Allah sees. The student of knowledge helps. You don't need to be always helping in the front line. Don't ever break your promises. Don't ever be late. Student of knowledge is a role model. And in the end, I would say student of knowledge has to be smart. You know, كن حد الذهن لا حد الطبع. يعني be sharp in your intellect, but don't be sharp in your manners and attitude. There is people, subhanAllah, they're very sharp when they talk, in a sense they injure you. You just stay away, kind of. You know, you don't want to talk to him. He's going to hurt you. Or when you deal with him, she's going to hurt you. You know, some people are just like to hurt others, somehow. I don't know. Anyway, but I want you to be sharp in your intellect, smart, quick. And I would like to share with you this last story of today. A man, him and his wife, always have this problem. It's a family problem issue. So he told his wife, if you don't shut up, if you don't be quiet, if you don't stop talking, she kept talking. She said, you know what? I will get you. Whatever you say, I will repeat it for you. Then she said immediately, Anta Taliq. What that means? You are divorced. Now, he has to repeat it. He swore by Allah to repeat what he said. And he doesn't want to divorce her. And she want to get divorced. So they went to the sheikh. So the sheikh looked at it and started debating over it. Then Ibn Jarir said, rahimahullah, he should say, they went to Ibn Jarir. Ibn Jarir said, أنت طالق إن طلقتك. He repeated what he said, أنت طالق, you are divorced if I divorce you. And if I was intending. Ibn Jarir said, this is how you can get out of it. So, smart, huh? Ibn Aqil didn't like the answer of Ibn Jarir. Ibn Aqil Hanbali said, no. He should say, أنت طالق. She said, أنت طالق. Anta, it's a pronoun for male. Anta. For female, anti. So he said, she said anta as a male. So if he repeat anta talik, she will not be divorced because that's a pronoun for male and she's not a male. Ibn Aqil said, you don't need to put if I intend. He just repeat exactly what she said, anta talik. Then Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, read this whole talk and he said, both are not really very good answers. Rahimahullah. And Ibn al-Qayyim said, there is no need for all this, for all this. Actually, he should not repeat it at all because it is based on the intention. He said, I will repeat whatever you say. He was not his intention was not every single word. He said his intention on this conversation, that's bothering him. That's why if she told him, buy me a milk, he will not reply by saying, buy me a milk. It's common sense. He said that's based on the intention. So all this is not even valid argument. But see, every scholar is very smart looking at it from a different perspective. So what I want you to be an intellect, to be smart, to be sharp, and to be like this, there are certain books, certain ulama, really يعني, makes you sharp. And the best names I can يعني, think of right now, Shaykh al-Islam bin Taymiyyah rahimahullah, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, and Ibn Hazm, and al-Bayhaqi. Al-Bayhaqi, this man is amazing also, rahimahullah ta'ala. يعني, this some of that, of the names that I can يعني, think of right now. Their books in general make you very intellect, very sharp, very aware of different aspects. I hope these words, inshallah, will, يعني, before I conclude, I just want to say one of the things that Talib al-Ilm should care about with his society also forgiveness. يعني, forgiveness is not one-time event. Forgiveness is an ongoing process. Forgiveness is something happening all the time. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah had one of his enemy, one of his, the people that who hated Ibn Taymiyyah the most, his name al-Bakri. Extend al-Bakri da, once Sheikh al-Islam was talking with the church, al-Bakri out of hate and yani, subhanallah, yani, I just can't imagine how this can happen. In front of the ruler, he jumped on Sheikh al-Islam and he pulled his imama and tore his thawb wa atwaqih and yani, was very violent. And once they hire people, they beat Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah in the street. They beat him with pads and stuff, some gangs. And he went to his group and he's bleeding and the Hanabila at that time said, oh, we will beat them back. He said, no. The students said, no. If you asking me, I'm saying haram. You're not allowed to do that. Is it, this is my thing, it's my right? It's between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyway, the shahid, the point. Days goes by, my brothers and sisters. And the governor changed after the governor is backing up this al-Bakri guy. And subhanAllah, the new governor was in favor of Ibn Taymiyyah. And because he wanna now get يعني, behind everybody who supported the previous government, he was after who's al-Bakri. Al-Bakri run away one house to another. Mubtadi' Dhal Ibn Taymiyyah, even in some narration that he said that he's kafir. He said kufr. Some of the statement is clear kufr. He said. And he debated him. He wrote a wonderful book called تلخيص الاستغاثة أو الاستغاثة الرد على البكري. With all this, this al-Bakri guy, he couldn't find a place to hide except one place, Ibn Taymiyyah's house. He came and he knocked on his door. And he said, I couldn't find any other place to hide. This is the last place they will think I will be. And Ibn Taymiyyah hosted him three nights. And he went to the governor and he interceded for him that he will not be killed or taken to jail and to be released. And his intercession was accepted. That's a lesson to teach us forgiveness. To teach us there is something called وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضُ. The believers, males and females, are awliya. No matter how far you go, as long as you are from Muslims, you are in this circle, there is wala between me and you. There is love and support. Yes, it is getting stronger when you are closer and getting weaker when you are farther. But it still exists. Still exists. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jannah wa yakum muwafiqeen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. And hopefully, inshallah, see you, inshallah, in the course. I usually don't take questions and answers for simple reasons. Because I believe, alhamdulillah, you have Sheikh Ihsan, you have a lot of certain knowledge and scholars. You don't need me to answer your questions. So inshallah, I would like these questions to be answered by them. Inshallah, wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.